No matter who you are, no matter where you have been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today, it's the second day of January. You made it back. I'm so glad to welcome you here. Maybe a few more are joining us today. Scoochie, scoochie on in. You can take your shoes off. You can keep them on. Take your coat off. Keep it on. Whatever you want to do. I'm just so glad that you are here. And there's a community of people that are glad that you are here too. Some have been here a really long time. Some just got here themselves. And some of you are just showing up for the first time. Welcome. I'm so glad that you are making the Bible a part of your daily life in this way today. One day, this moment, this is all we have, and it's enough. Yesterday, I asked you just to be here, be present, because there's a lot to unload, a lot to unpack, and we offer just some little tips and tools of how to make this the most successful way that you can do this. Let me rephrase that all over again. We came up with a few tips and tools to help you through your journey as you listen to the Bible. And if I give them to you all at once, they will for sure bombard you, and we do not want to bombard you. So yesterday, I just wanted you to be. Today, I want you to understand that you're going to do this journey imperfectly. Like, you're going to get it so right until you don't. Because imperfectly is how we go about everything in life. If you fall off, if circumstances arise, if you just don't have time, you lose your way, you lose your gumption, you lose your ambition, it's okay. We have all been there. What we don't want you to do is get so lost that you just abandon ship altogether. We want you to just get up right where you're at and listen for that day. And then if you have time to go back, you can and catch up. But to start where you are today, not where you fell off, but start where you are today. That will help you get back on track. You won't feel like a failure, and you won't have messed anything up if you just begin again. And this is not going to make sense because you're day two and you're killing it so far. You're crushing your goals as you should, but you will fall off. Some of you will fall off. And if you do, just get back up and get right back into it. With that being said, let's get into it. Today we are reading Genesis chapters 4 through 7. A lot happened yesterday in the creation story or the creation poem. Let's see what happens in the book of Genesis today. Today we are reading the New Living Translation, Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. but you must subdue it and be its master. One day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Cain replied to the Lord, my punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me. The Lord replied, no, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city which he named Enoch after his son. Enoch had a son named Irad. Irad became the father of Mehujael. Mehujael became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women. The first was named Adah, and the second was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal, who was the first of those who raise livestock and live in tents. His brother's name was Jubal, the first of all who play the harp and flute. Lamech's other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain had a sister named Naamah. One day Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Listen to me, you wives of Lamech. I have killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. If someone who kills Cain is punished 7 times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. Adam had sexual relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to another son. She named him Seth, for she said, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. When Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. This is the written account of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, he made them to be like himself. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them human. When Adam was 130 years old, he became the father of a son who was just like him. In his very image, he named his son Seth. After the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth was 105 years old, he became the father of Enosh. After the birth of Enosh, Seth lived another 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh was 90 years old, he became the father of Kenan. After the birth of Kenan, Enosh lived another 815 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enosh lived 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan was 70 years old, he became the father of Mahalalel. After the birth of Mahalalel, Kenan lived another 840 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel was 65 years old, he became the father of Jared. After the birth of Jared, Mahalalel lived another 830 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. When Jared was 162 years old, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. When Methuselah was 187 years old, he became the father of Lamech. After the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech was 182 years old, he became the father of a son. Lamech named his son Noah, for he said, "May he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed." After the birth of Noah, Lamech lived another 595 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with them, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, 'I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them.' But Noah found favor with the Lord." This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all of this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, "I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal, and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals." So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you seven pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice, and take one pair of each of the others. Also take 7 pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and a female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights, until I have wiped from the earth all the living things I have created. So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him.
Noah was 600 years old when the flood covered the earth. He went on board the boat to escape the flood, he and his wife and his sons and their wives. With them were all the various kinds of animals, those approved for eating and those that were not, along with all the birds and the small animals that scurry along the ground. They entered the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God had commanded Noah. After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, all the underground waters erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. That very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. With them in the boat were pairs of every kind of animal, domestic and wild, large and small, along with birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing that breathes. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. For 40 days, the flood waters grew deeper, covering the ground and lifting the boat high above the earth. As the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. Finally, the water covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peaks. All the living things on earth died: birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the people. Everything that breathed and lived on dry land died. God wiped out every living thing on the earth: people, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat. And the floodwaters covered the earth for 150 days. Okay, we end with Noah today, but we begin with the story of Cain and Abel, and we have to talk about the story of Cain and Abel. It's kind of just a little blurb on the map in the book of Genesis in the 4th chapter, but it's a huge theme, and this theme will follow throughout the entire Bible, and this theme we should be able to mirror within our own hearts if we're willing to be honest with ourselves. Cain and Abel are introduced through the conception of Eve and Adam, and they grow up to be two completely opposite men. Abel was a shepherd. He tended the sheep. Cain cultivated the ground. He was a farmer. But when it's time for harvest, when it's time to reap the reward, Scripture says Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Now, we understand there is no offering set up. There is no sacrifice set up thus far in the Bible. This is offering to God as a form of worship at this time. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The best portions of lambs from the flock are lambs that have no blemishes. There are no spots on them. There's no little black spots. I'm literally looking out my window right now at my next door neighbor's sheep, and I see there are some that are just so peculiar looking, so interesting looking. White sheep with black eyes, spotted lambs and various colors, but the ones without spot and blemish were the perfect sheep to bring as an offering to God. The best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock, this is what Abel presented to God. But we know that Cain just gave him some of the crops. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Why is this? It's a great question. God did not accept Cain and his gift because he brought some of his crops. He didn't bring the first fruits of his crops. Now, if you're a gardener, if you garden flowers, if you garden vegetables, if you garden cattle, I don't know if that's the right word, you raise cattle, you know there's something to be said about that first fruit. The first fruit that comes and blooms, and there it is, there's the little flowers, and it's a blossom, but it's going to grow into a fruit. And you want to share it with everyone. I love to garden. I love to produce beautiful fruit and vegetables. I love to feed my family from the earth. I love the entire process, to see the seed in the ground, the sun shine on it, the water that comes, and the life that it brings. But there's something to be said about offering to God back that which he has provided. And Abel was willing to bring the best to God. Cain presented some of his crops. We don't know which ones, but we know it wasn't the first fruits. This is going to be an important theme to hold on to as we journey and travel through the Old Testament. We're going to be in it for a long time this year as well. You need to know that up front. We're going to have to get good and settled in here. But what a journey it will be, I promise. Because God accepted Abel and his gift, Cain became envious and jealous of his brother. Envy, it is damaging. It is destructive. It produces death. It's that plain and simple. And we'll see this play out in scripture. Now, here's the difference. Jealousy is, they have something that I wish I had. I feel a little empty because I don't have that. Envy is the next step. They have what I wish I had. I feel empty. They must pay for what I do not have. There's a big difference. And we often fail to realize how much we reach for envy. What Cain feels in God's acceptance of his brother Abel, in his acceptance of him and his acceptance of his gift, he takes as rejection and as dejection, and he takes it out on his brother, and he takes his brother's life into his own hands. What we see is that God deals with Cain directly. There is a consequence for his action, just as there was a consequence to the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden. God tells Cain, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." And Cain expresses his distress. God could have just taken Cain He could have just taken his life. He could have got justice. He could have got revenge. But there's a consequence. But he will not allow anyone else to harm Cain. This is the mercy of God that we see in action, but again, not without the consequence that Cain lived outside of the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know darkness and hopelessness. I know worthlessness. I know shame stricken upon my head, so much so that my next breath felt questionable, and it felt as if I didn't take it, that would be better and okay than what I was experiencing, because there was the absence of the presence of God. Why would he give me his presence with what I have done, and the shame that I felt, and the shame that was being inflicted upon me? Now, first of all, understand, this is not the voice of God, but God is allowed to ask questions. What have you done? And that is not to shame, that is a direct question to bring us into awareness of our actions and our own sin. I know this is heavy stuff, day two, back to back, but this is how the word transforms us when we dive deep into it, when we dive deep enough that we're willing to look at our own lives and see the parallels of our own lives in the pages of the Word of God. This is how our faith becomes our own, and this is how we enter into a relationship with God by knowing him through his word. So Jesus, we thank you for your word today. There's so much more to say, but I trust that the safety of your presence and the safety of your Holy Spirit will continue to speak that which needs to be spoken in these next few moments to our hearts. Thank you, God, that you do not offer us your shame. You offer us mercy. When we repent, when we own our actions, our mistakes, our sin, our part, I pray that we would all own our part. Let it begin here. And now, we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you just a few things if you're new, because again, I don't want to bombard you. There's still a lot to get through, and we'll do that slowly together. There is a website. If you want to know anything about the Daily Audio Bible, this is the place to go and check it out. dailyaudiobible.com. That's it. That's the website. That's also the free app if you have not downloaded it. Exciting things coming in technology, in the world of technology. We're so close. And so we'll have exciting things to talk about hopefully very soon. But in the meantime, that is the free app and you can download that. We'll talk more about the app as we go along. For now, what you're going to hear for the first time, if you're new, after I utter the last words of the podcast today, is you'll hear people, and these are people just like you in the community, and they call in because they need prayer, because they're going through things that are hard, and nobody needs to go through hard things alone. And you'll hear people that are in this community that will offer their prayers for those people in distress. You'll hear people that will share good news of how God has answered the prayers of this community, and you will sometimes hear the not so good news of how God has spoken at the end of those prayers. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. It's a both and. Sometimes we do the same thing in the very same day. But you do not have to go through this alone. And so if this is you and this is sparking something in your heart right now, and you're like, I could really use a friend. I could really use someone that I don't have to go through this alone. I'm going to tell you how to do that right now. For this podcast, Chronological, we have our own number. That number is 800-583-2164. If you're dialing it with your little pointy finger, you have 2 minutes on the prayer line. Or if you're utilizing that app, up at the top mid section of that app, there's a little red circle button. You'll hit that button and you'll record your message. Again, you have 2 minutes on the prayer line. This is very important. When you are finished, you'll hit submit, and then you'll take your little pointer finger again and you'll turn it to Chronological and send it off. And that will ensure that your call gets to the right place. I know this is a lot if you're new, but just stay with it. It's going to become more and more familiar to you every day. So I'm going to stop there so that you don't get overloaded with 411 information. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and we'll begin again. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hi, Brian and Jill. This is Mark. Just wanted to say thank you. I've been with you since almost the beginning, 2008 or so. And you've been through me. You've been with me through all of life's ups and downs, and I just want to say thank you. Words can't express what you mean to me, and 20 years is a long time. I hope to one day shake both of your hands and give you hugs. Daily Audio Bible took me from a place of just needing comfort and something to listen to during a hard time, and it inspired me to change my life. Just to let you know that. I'm here praying all the time with all of you fellow believers and fellow campfire stokers. Just want to tell you that there's nothing our God cannot change. There's no mountain he can't move. There is no place where he can't reach. His arm is mighty. His grace is sufficient. And just wanted to let you know I'm praying for all of you. This is Mark. I'll catch you guys on the Facebook. So much love and big hugs. Goodbye.
Hey, DABC. This is Sarah in Shropshire. And I wanted to say Happy Christmas and a Happy New Year and wish you every blessing for 2026. For the last, maybe 7 years, I've alternated between DABC and DAB, so I'll be off over to listen to DAB for next year. Double dabbing is not, it doesn't work for my brain, unfortunately. But I want to let you know that I will carry thoughts of you with me and maybe come across some of you over on the other channel. So I'm wishing you every blessing and lots of love. I'm remembering those who are gone and thinking about this new baby that we're praying for and we're hoping to welcome in the not too distant future. Lots of love.
Hello, family. This is Shenny calling from the United Kingdom. I've been a daily audio Bible listener for almost 6 years. I've called in before, but I've almost been a silent listener. Today I'm calling to pray for a fellow caller called Runke from the UK, whose prayer request was broadcasted on the 19th of December at Daily Audio Bible Chronological with Jill. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift Runke before you. You see her heart, heavy heart, her sadness and her tiredness. Please surround her with your peace and quiet the anxiety that weighs upon her mind. Lord, we bring her daughter to you. You know her struggles and her resistance. Soften her heart. Grant her humility, wisdom, and the willingness to listen. Heal the bond between mother and daughter and restore respect, understanding, and love. Father, as Runke faces difficult decisions, we ask for clear guidance. Lead her by your spirit. Give her the peace where you are calling her to act, and self-control where she should wait, and let fear not be her guide, but trust in you. We ask for provision as well. Make a way for her finances, her home, and her needs. Open doors for stability and relieve the pressure she feels. Remind her that you are faithful and present. Strengthen her, Lord. Renew her hopes. Guide her travels and her future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Mike from South Dakota. I just got back from taking my wife to the hospital. I'm going to ask you all to be praying for her. We've both had the flu for the last week, and this morning she having a hard time breathing and took her in, and we got her on oxygen and give her lots of stuff. But on the good side, they've given her x-rays. She doesn't have anything wrong with her lungs. She doesn't have anything wrong with her heart or anything. It's just that this A1 flu is just really, really, really a bad flu. I've rarely been as sick as I've been the last week. But I'm getting over it, and she's not. She's in the hospital, so I'm asking you to pray for my wife, Terry, and that the treatments work on her so that she gets back to normal. I love you all, and I thank you for always having prayed for the things I've asked you to pray for, and has always succeeded. And I believe it will succeed this time, but I am obviously worried about her. So please send up my wife, Terry Elmore, in prayer. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Adios.